Luke chapter 18 seems to deal with different groups of people who came to Christ and who found themselves confronted by Christ. And I think that the best way to look at verses 15 through to the end of the chapter is to see here different aspects of coming to Christ. Coming to Christ, of course, is a once-for-all action. But as you might expect, coming to Christ and being converted to Christ is a rich and a complex experience. After all, different people come to Christ in different ways. And different people come to Christ seeking different things. And so there are various aspects of coming to Christ. If you think back, for example, to verses 15 to 17, there you have the story of the parents who brought their children to Jesus that he should touch them and bless them. But it's interesting that Luke doesn't use the usual word for children here, which is the Greek word paideia, pediatrics. Paideia are juniors, or children of primary school age. The word that he uses is the word brethae, which means sucklings, or children in arms, or helpless babies. In other words, creatures who could not walk to Jesus for themselves. They had to be carried to Christ. And that is an important aspect of coming to Christ in conversion. We come to Christ as helpless babies. We are carried to Jesus. And there are many senses in which that is one of the deepest aspects of being converted. We are brought to Christ helpless and weak and needy, just like these helpless babies in their mother's arms. We can be carried to Christ in the prayers of Christian parents. We can be carried to Christ in the prayers of Christian relatives and Christian friends. When we have no strength of our own to walk to Christ, we can be brought to him. We can always, as the old evangelists used to say, let go and let God. In the next section, verses 18 to 30, you've got a very different instance. It's the story of the rich young ruler who came to Jesus asking what he had to do in order to inherit life everlasting. And I suppose that to use modern parlance, this was a man who had everything going for him. He was well-to-do, and therefore he had no financial problems. He was young, and therefore he had the years on his side. And he was also very religious. It's very hard to be rich and young and religious. Here was a man who had everything. He had plenty of money, he was young, and he was very devout. But Jesus asked him to give all his money to the poor and to invest in treasure in heaven. In other words, Jesus said something to this man that he could never have said to helpless babies. He asked him to throw his life away. And that is a second aspect of coming to Christ. Coming not as a helpless baby carried to Jesus, but coming as a mature, thinking, responsible person, anxious to have eternal life, and hearing Christ's challenge to throw your life away for his sake and the gospel's. And that's an important part of being converted. It's the first thing that struck me on the night I was converted. I felt that my life had gone. And time again, Jesus tells us that unless we are prepared to throw our lives away, we cannot be his disciples. You must die to self if you want to live to God. You must lose your life if you want to keep it to life everlasting. And only those who are prepared to die that kind of death can live at all. Coming to Jesus as a thinking person on your own two legs and hearing the challenge to throw your life away. Now in today's reading, we come to yet another two aspects of coming to Christ. And both sections have this in common. They have to do with blindness. In verses 31 to 34, we read of the disciples coming to Christ and not knowing who he really was. They were blind as to who he was. In verse 31, taking the 12, he said, "We're going to Jerusalem, and everything that is written of the Son of Man by the Old Testament prophets will be accomplished." Verse 34, "But they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them, and they did not grasp what was said." And in the second part, verses 35 to the end, we read the story of the blind man in Jericho. As he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. I'd like to think this morning of these two aspects of coming to Christ. First of all, coming to Christ and being blind as to who he really is. And I believe there is a major lesson here. Jesus is speaking to the 12 about his death and his sufferings and his resurrection. And he goes back to the Old Testament and he shows the disciples that what is about to happen to him was in fact spoken about hundreds of years before he came. And I can imagine Jesus saying, well, look here in Moses. That's me. Or look here in the Psalms. That's me. Or see here in Isaiah. That's me. And the reaction of the 12 to that was this. They understood none of these things. This saying was hid from them, and they did not grasp what was said. Now, the interesting thing is this. This is the seventh time in Luke's gospel that Jesus has spoken about his sufferings and his death and his resurrection. And even at this seventh time, they were blind as to who he was. And Luke mentions this blindness and ignorance back in chapter 9. If you care to turn back to chapter 9 and at verse 44. Luke 9 and 44, Jesus said, let these words sink into your ears, for the Son of Man is to be delivered into the hands of men. But they did not understand this saying, and it was concealed from them that they should not perceive it, and they were afraid to ask him about this saying. And there is often that element in our first being confronted with Christ. We are at first blind and ignorant as to who he is. And in fact, many folk go through life for years and years in that condition, blind and ignorant as to who Christ really is. I remember when I first went to university, I was given my grandmother's wedding ring. It had somehow got broken, and I thought it could be repaired and made into a good signet ring. So I took Granny's ring to a jeweler in George Street. And it so happened the man was a member of the Congregational Church. And we started talking. I was not then a Christian. And in his own muddled way, he tried to speak to me about religion. So I asked him, but what is a Christian? And his answer was this, someone who has Christ as a great moral commander. And that was all he saw in Christ. A great moral commander. Not much help to a man who was living it up. And there are many folk who are faced with Christ for a lifetime, and they see nothing in Christ other than a great moral teacher or a great ethical example like Socrates or Plato or Aristotle. A great moral commander. I wonder if there's anyone here today who is blind and ignorant as to who Christ is. Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." Is that how you see him? Is he your Lord and your God? Is he your lover? Is he your sovereign, your master, your savior, your wisdom, your everything? They understood none of these things. The saying was hid from them, and they did not grasp what was said. The second story is also about blindness. It's the blindness of the man in Jericho. And we know from other gospels that the man was called Bartimaeus, which means the son of Timaeus. And since the other gospel writers tell us that there were two blind men, it is supposed that one blind man was Timaeus, the father, and the other was Bartimaeus, his son. And the point of the story is this. Just as Jesus went back into the Old Testament to show the disciples who he really was, so this blind man, wherever he'd learned this, also went back into the Old Testament to find out who Jesus was. Three things about this man. First of all, he called Jesus the Son of David, and in the Old Testament, the Son of David is one of the messianic titles of Christ. Secondly, he knew that in the Old Testament, the opening of the eyes of the blind was messianic work. Then shall the eyes of the blind be opened. Only Christ can open blind eyes. And thirdly, he called Jesus not Rabbi, Master, teacher, great moral commander. He called him Lord. And the word he used was kurios. And the word kurios is the Old Testament Greek name for Jehovah. First of all, he knew that the Christ had come. Secondly, he knew that the opener of blind eyes had come. And thirdly, he knew that God had come. And it was on the grounds of that faith that Christ opened his eyes. And the first thing he saw was Jesus. You know, there's a tension in the Bible when it speaks about the face of Christ. Speaking of the face of Christ, Isaiah says, "He had no beauty that we should desire him. His face was more marred than the face of any man." Not pretty, not attractive. But the girl says of her sweetheart in the Song of Solomon, looking into his face, she says, Thou art altogether lovely. He is the fairest of 10,000 and the lily of the valleys, as the hymn puts it. Do you know your redemption hymn book? I found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. And that marred, unattractive face of Jesus in Isaiah is the fairest of 10,000 and the altogether lovely one to those who have their blindness and their ignorance taken away. Is that what Christ is like to you? Or is he still a grand model commander? One last thing. I want you to listen to this. As far as we know, that was the only time Jesus was in Jericho. He never went back there again. And the gospel says he was only passing through. He hadn't come to stay. He was just passing through. And for those who wanted blind eyes opened, that was a chance in a lifetime. It was their one and only chance to see. Jesus Christ is here this morning, but he's just passing through. Just as he passed through Jericho, he's going up and down the aisles and up and down the pews amongst blind eyes and ignorant minds who as yet do not see who he is. Shakespeare says, there is a tide in the affairs of men, which taken at the flood leans on to fortune. And he goes on to say that if you miss the tide, you spend the rest of your life paddling about in shallows because you've missed the tide and you've missed the boat. Jesus never came back to Jericho. He was just passing through. Well, suppose this is your chance today to see him as he is. Suppose it's now or never for you today to come and see his face and see him as he is. Supposing that is the case, I wonder what your response will be. Amen. May God add a blessing to the preaching of his word.